Blog Talk Radio.
World's ahead to me. I
All right, everybody. It's Monday night, and that little opening was by Trisha Yearwood and Vince Gill. My wife sent that to me. I don't know why. I just can't. Tough to listen to that without tearing up. But without getting too sappy and emotional. I guess we're at the crossroads, or getting pretty close. Michael, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to talk politics for just a minute, or 90. You know, I've been kind of absent of late, and haven't really even thought much about everything that's going on, the debates, the election. I'm past heartbroken over our situation. I'm past being angry. I'll still have bouts of anger about it. But in all honesty, we've discussed this before. Our Rubicon was crossed quite some time ago. I think the most disastrous thing that could happen for our country, for the future of our children and our grandchildren, would be for an election to be held, a new president to be elected, and for people to blindly believe that everything's going to be all better and begin to go about their day-to-day business as if everything has been resolved. And I'm afraid that's exactly what we're going to see. Many of those folks who have been stirred to action, who've had their blinders taken off and have been motivated to get involved, will go right back to sleep and go right back to being complacent as our country continues headlong towards a financial crisis, one that many of them won't see coming. We'll see a resurgence in the markets, a relaxing of fear, and that will be replaced, I'm afraid, with abject panic. Can I see we've got Mr. Robert on the line? I'm going to bring Robert up. Robert, how are you, sir?
I'm still here.
Wow, that makes two of us.
I still make it. You summed it up pretty well. I don't know what else to say no more, Ron. I've lost
words. I don't either. And that's, one of the reasons. It's a convenient excuse, I guess, at this point. I don't know what to say. I don't know what else I can say. I feel that I've said everything, at least in my mind. And I see the same people coming to the chat room and to the shows every week. And I know there are some that show up just out of support and nothing else, and I know the rest show up because they actually understand or believe much of what I've been saying. So I feel like in the current venue, I've reached about all the people that I'm able to reach.
No, I've done the same. I can't reach them anymore. I feel like Linda. I can't reach them anymore. So therefore, I feel like Howard Hughes. I'm eating hamburgers and keeping low profile.
Well, and you know, I think part of it too is my job change, changing to a different location. I was watching the location I was at slowly dying on the vine, so to speak. And I really wasn't concerned. I guess that is partially selfish or self-centered, but I wasn't really concerned with the other locations so much as I was with my store and watching how things were dwindling. You know, our money was dwindling at our location. Now that I'm at a different location, I've got all day long, because business is so bad, I have all day long to sit and look at the figures and the numbers and crunch the numbers, and I see what the owner sees, you know, and it's just not good.
So you're in a small business, and you're seeing the business crumble, basically.
Yeah, you know, we've got, we've got 10 locations, and, you know, a little over 50 employees. Well, let's see, probably 60, which means that we're not going, you know, they won't be able to fly under the radar of Obamacare when it kicks in after the first of the year. I think that is one excuse that's being used as far as numbers go, you know, why businesses aren't spending money and that kind of thing.
Well, you just—that's the result of the economy. That's the result of his policies. What can you say? I mean, he's been an advocate of just crunching small businesses since he's been in an office. So.
Well, there's more to it than just, you know, targeting small business. It's business in general. And, yeah, silver was up today. Linda was asking about silver prices. No, not too bad. I was actually disappointed. Silver's up 38 cents an ounce today. It's down 10 cents in after hours trading. I'm going to put up a link for Linda so that you can go to it anytime. And that's a... takes about 15 minutes. That's 15 minutes behind those numbers. I don't know that it will skyrocket. I mean, there's so much that factors into that. Understanding economics, you understand that there's a lot that factors into pricing. And we have to remember that it's all relative because it's priced in dollars, U.S. dollars. But anyway... you know, J.P. Morgan is trying diligently to keep silver at a low valuation compared to the dollar. I don't really think it matters, quite honestly. I mean, I've got some silver. I've got food. I've got ammunition. I've got weapons. I've got water. You know, those are going to be the important things, food and water. I'm going to put a link in the chat room, Robert, that unfortunately you're not able to see. It was one I sent to Linda earlier, and it's from the International Monetary Fund. It's a paper that was written where they're revisiting what's called the Chicago Plan. We should love it just for that.
Huh.
But the Chicago Plan, interestingly enough, is basically a copy of a plan from an Athenian from 599 BC. It's been tried by the Babylonians, the Syrians, the Medo-Persians, the Romans. And, you know, it's always had the same outcome, abject failure. So, of course, you know, by golly, we're a lot smarter than those guys were, so we ought to just, man, we ought to give it a shot. I think we're smart enough now that we see the error of their ways, and we can separate ourselves from it. It never ceases to amaze me. All the people that fuss and complain, called Ron Paul crazy for wanting to go back to a gold or metallic standard. You know, the one thing all these people do is they try to justify why every other system will work. And there's a reason, there's a fundamental underlying reason why they don't like a metallic system, a commodities-based system, like a gold system or standard. And that is because they're not able to manipulate the amount of product or commodity available. They can't create gold and silver. And because they can't create it, they're left with trying to manipulate it by shaving coins, changing the metallurgy in the coins to contain less and less gold, but that becomes pretty obvious, even to the layman. It's too transparent. It's too above board.
Wow. You know, Rod, one of the reasons why I called tonight is because I wanted, Saturday we were supposed to take Kathy to, you know, all the other high function people to picnic, Anna Maria Island in Manatee County. They gave us the directions, of course, right? And Ron, I was just totally amazed. You talk about the mosquito class. I never saw so many mosquitoes in my life in one city. And I saw a unique flag, which really blew me away when I saw it. It was the red, white, and blue flag with the stripes, red or white stripes, and the blue background with one star on it. And when I saw that, I just went wild. Number one. And number two, I saw a bumper sticker. And it said, "I'm a global citizen." When I saw those two, I didn't know what to make. I said, "It's a delay on it. I can't wait to get out of here." I wanted to go back home. You can just tell who they are.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Needless to say, we didn't find a picnic. We got lost.
Well, you know, it seems to me that it reminds me of the stories of the turkeys, you know. They say that turkeys are so stupid that they will drown themselves in the rain by looking up at the water coming falling from the sky. And I think that a large segment of our society is in that same boat. They'll all go out and gather at the park and have a picnic while they're being absolutely murdered from every angle, completely enslaved, and they don't have a clue. They just don't have a damned clue. No concept of reality whatsoever.
I didn't I didn't have the concept of reality. I mean, I was carrying a bowl of shrimp salad, walking miles on end trying to find this picnic. And all these people came up and says, "Is that for us? Thank you." I felt like such a moron.
Mr. Magic, Mr. Magic says to tell you that Mrs. Magic loves you.
Say that again.
Mr. Michael Magic said to tell you that Mrs. Magic loves you.
Well, I don't know Mrs. Magic, but I'll say I will love her too.
You know, kind of.
Anybody that I have met that loves me, I must be doing something right.
Well, that's probably why she loves you. She hasn't met you yet, Robert.
because she hasn't seen me in the towel yet.
She hasn't seen you in the towel and the tennis shoes and the yarmulke yet. Oh, geez.
I still have my record meter. They haven't confiscated that yet.
You know, on a different note, and you're talking about meters, I was in the garage this afternoon and creating my latest project, and I saw a little pickup truck pull up out front, and it was the county assessor's office.
Oh, God.
Well, of course, we have a new tax assessor after the latest elections, and so she's driving the neighborhood, this woman, and she continued on down the cul-de-sac, and then I went upstairs to get something to eat. It was right at lunchtime, and I heard something out front. I looked out, and she was walking up to my steps. So I opened my front door, and I asked her if I could be of any assistance. She started quizzing me. She's asking me, you know, "Are you Ron Golden?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Does this house still have X number of bedrooms on this floor and that floor?" And I'm like, "Yeah." "And is it still carpet and tile?" And I'm like, "What's with the 20 questions?" "Oh, I'm just asking some questions. We're just updating our records, and I'm going to take some measurements." "No, you're not." "Oh, well, yeah, I'm just going to measure the outside." "No, you're not. I don't want you snooping around my yard with a tape measure." "Oh, I wouldn't be snooping. I'm from the assessor's office. I don't give a damn who you're with. You're not traipsing around my yard with a tape measure. Don't you have those measurements from the plans when the builder built the house?" "Well, yes, but someone might have made an error." "Well, they didn't. You have a nice day. Run along."
Wow. So they're assessing, they're trying to assess not only the outside, they're probably going to assess the inside of the house too, to make sure you're not remodeling.
Well, you know, it reminded me of England prior to the Revolutionary War, when they used to have a window tax. They taxed houses based on how many windows were on the home.
Right.
So the builders and people got wise to that, and they started boarding off windows. So then they began taxing houses based on how many chimneys it had.
That's unbelievable. They're doing it down here too, Ron.
You know, part of the problem is because of the real estate debacle, the housing bust of 2008 and 2009, the counties are finding themselves collecting fewer taxes because houses have been revalued downward. So they're having to come up with ways of finding more taxability in your property. Oh. I told her to get the hell off my property, and there was no trespassing.
Good for you, Ron. You made my day.
But I mean, just the triviality of it. It's annoying.
Oh,
and we have Miss Linda on the line. How are you, Miss Linda?
Fine. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you perfectly, crystal clear.
I can hear you.
Hi, Robert.
Robert is clear as a bell tonight. Doesn't sound like he's skydiving, and the dog's not harassing him for a hot dog, so we're in good shape.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I was reading that report on the Chicago plan. I'll save it for later as well. But, yeah, this is Do they stay up at night to try to figure out ways to torture us? I mean,
That whole plan came about back in the 30s as an answer to the Great Depression, and it was a way to diminish debt. But you see, I mean, immediately, and I've only just given it a cursory quick read, I was reading it as you were reading it, and the first thing that jumps out at me is what they want to do is separate credit lending from deposit banking and require 100% reserve for banking. I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but the idea of credit being directly tied to how much money Congress produces, I see a big hiccup in that plan right away.
Those guys can't even run a meeting, let alone anything else.
One of the reasons that the system has been allowed or been able to sustain itself for as long as it has is primarily because there's no transparency, so people don't realize how much money, credit money, has been created. It's not apparent. It's not obvious. If it were, you would see an immediate devaluation of your current dollars, probably by a factor of 150 or better, I would say.
Oh boy, lovely.
So, I mean, this is to me flying the flag of the reset idea that I've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If they, in a way, now I get it even more. This would certainly be a way to appease a large number of economists and naysayers. If you went to, say, a 40% gold-backed dollar, and you had 100% reserve requirement, no fractional reserve lending, that's going to get rid of a lot of the perceived problems. But we can see the result of such a thing in the Weimar Republic, in Zimbabwe.
Oh,
in Zimbabwe. They essentially had the very system that they're talking about. They weren't having bank runs in the Weimar Republic. They weren't having bank runs in Zimbabwe.
Well, they were printing money. Burning it up in the basement. The printing presses were probably melting down. I mean, it was that bad.
Why is that? What's the driver behind that? What's the mechanism behind that?
I don't know.
Well, see, this goes back to a conversation Ron Paul had with Ben Bernanke. We hear the term inflation a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the average Joe public has no clue what inflation truly is. We perceive it as higher prices, the cost of goods increasing.
Because of the devaluation of the dollar.
That is correct.
Once you have that much velocity of that much currency, especially if it's fiat currency paper, into the system, it's going to keep devaluing it in a rapid pace. And people don't understand that.
Yep.
This is where we're – and the problem is, let's say Mitwit gets in and, all these businesses are going to go, they're going to drink champagne and they're going to just go bonkers and they're going to infuse cash into the system even more. So the inflation's going to hit because it's going to gain velocity, and that's where this collapse may stem from, or pain.
You may be right. I think the businesses are still going to play it close to the vest.
Yeah.
I think business owners, they're smart enough that, number one, regardless of who gets elected president, they know that repealing Obamacare is not going to be a cakewalk just because Mitt Romney's in the Oval Office.
Right.
Romney's not going to be able to, on inauguration day, just wave the executive pen and repeal Obamacare. That's not going to happen. What will be interesting is to see how much buyer's remorse people have as the Republicans and the new executive scramble to initiate their own version of Obamacare. And it's going to be a mess. I'm here to tell you, it is going to be an abject, straight up, as they say down here in the South, a hot mess.
Yes, exactly. Well,
it already is a mess.
Oh, I know, but it's going to get a hell of a lot worse.
It'll get so ugly.
You haven't even begun to see infighting yet. You wait.
Oh, and wait till the poor seniors start getting, you know, their death panel marches, you know, in increments, as it will happen if this doesn't get repealed completely. I would never say replace it with anything. They need to stop all this nonsense. The government has no business in health insurance, health care, none of it. They have no authority.
And if you think for one moment that the government is going to rescind its newfound authority and to rule over your choice of health care, we're delusional at best. I just don't see any big, huge changes coming just because of a change in the captain of the Titanic. I do see people's perceptions changing.
That's
and
true.
I think foolishly so, and I think it will spur some spending in the market. But I don't think that that is going to yield anything of any consequence other than a false sense of security.
Right, but people who are somewhat aware of what's going to happen, and you and I, and we, all of us have been talking about this stuff for, you know, as long as we have, we're more prepared for the eventuality of what, you know, the collapse or whatever, it'll be a reset, as you renamed it. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no complacency in this girl. No. The bullhorn will be louder because I am going to hold everybody's feet to the fire from city council on up. I can't just sit still. I have to tell my patriots and my Tea Party people, hey, this is when we got to push forward right now and huge. This has to have a huge resurgence because they're not going to listen to us. You know, we got to stand up. Craziness.
I am so curious to see how it all plays out. That one paper really gave me more insight just in the short little bit that I've read of
it.
And we've got another caller. I believe that's Mr. Magic.
Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone is well.
Hey, Michael.
I couldn't help but jump in here when you're talking about, you know, Obamacare. And, it doesn't matter who gets in there. And it really has nothing to do with what the government wants or doesn't want, okay? This goes way, way, way beyond that. It has to do with bankrupting America, and this is one of the tools that is being used to complete the agenda, Ron.
Well, that's one of them.
That's certainly a possibility. And, I mean, you know, I've tried to look at this thing from every possible angle, and it certainly is difficult for me to accept that, you know, this isn't being done intentionally.
Right.
I know that. Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't believe that. I've had people argue with me till the cows come home that, you know, banks don't create money. They don't. And actually, I technically agree with them. They create credit, which circulates as money. But, you know, it's just, it can become mind-numbing.
Yeah. Well, it's just a shame that we don't have a Ron Paul to vote for instead of what we have. I mean, it's a pain. But I'm just going to prepare myself, you know, prepare the best I can and try to wake others up. Try to get them to see what's been going on. And I know that Michael talks about the New World Order, and I've seen that coming, too, because Agenda 21 is all about that. And the problem is the UN has been given too much, you know, authority or perceiving authority over us, and they have none. They have no right to tell us to do anything. And, I think it's up to we the people to just say, enough's enough, and tell everybody, you know, no, go pound it. We're not doing anything.
I don't remember what that email was I got today. Something about the UN. Had to do with the UN and Syria, I believe, or Libya.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, the situation that's going on right now in Syria, on Glenn's show, he was connecting the dots, and one of the gals sitting with him trying to explain, you know, how they were going through this whole thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was incorrect. The UN warns Americans not to vote for Mitt Romney.
That's right. I heard that, too.
Well, yeah, because all the petty dictators like Obama, because he's one of them. He's a petty dictator, or he thinks he is. And that stupid do-nothing Congress, they just...
Well, and you have to... But at the same time, okay, my BS meter goes off when I hear stuff like this. Just like on Drudge, they were talking about, Chavez and...
Putin and Castro
all support Obama. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now wait a damn minute. Really? Of course, he is the world president. That's president of the world. That was the rhetoric when he was first.
Yeah, right.
Christened, you know.
So anyway, apparently the gun running is going to Syria now through the same people. Of course, Chris Stevens is no longer among them. So,
but
and
you know,
that's the direction of Obama.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because we had all this hoopla here in the U.S. over gun runner, right? And that gun running garbage south of the border was going on under Bush. Okay, and it was going on under Clinton, and it was going on under Carter, and it was going on under Reagan. I mean, let's be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, the United States is the single largest supplier of weapons around the world.
Yeah, apparently. There's
two things that the U.S. creates in mass quantities. One is debt, and the other is weapons of war.
Yep, isn't that special?
And you know, when you start to try and untangle the octopus, so to speak,
right?
When you begin looking at these large corporations, like the ones that the Occupy protesters want to protest against, and I don't necessarily discount the Occupy protesters targeting some of these big conglomerates. And the reason for that is that if we were to dig into the ownership of those big conglomerates, I think you would find that much of them trail all the way back to the central bank.
Yep.
It goes to, the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. These big conglomerates are owned by the banks that loan them money.
And the
way that we were getting all these third world countries on the hook is they would send in a guy like John Perkins with massive loans through the IMF or the World Bank. And, you know, Mr. Dictator, here in this pocket, I've got millions of dollars. I'll make you fabulously rich. In the other pocket, I've got a bullet with your name on it. Let's play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's really, it's certainly oversimplified. And so they would loan this money to these countries. And then through those loans, they would build infrastructure projects, hydroelectric dams, and those kind
right.
of things. And the country would be given a list of contractors that it could hire. Only because, of course, the bank, the World Bank, the IMF, whomever, they wanted to make sure that they were using reputable contractors that were going to do the job properly. Never mind the fact that the bank had a controlling interest in those very companies. So the bank is loaning that country money to pay the bank's corporations to build the infrastructure in those countries.
Wow.
Hey, crony
fascism.
Yes, Robert.
I have a question for you. Where's our Attorney General? He's been missing in action.
I think he was in Libya at the embassy. I'm not sure. Oh, we couldn't get that lucky, could we?
No.
I mean, I haven't heard from him in a while. I haven't heard from our beloved Attorney General in a while.
You know, maybe it was him and Elena Kagan and Sotomayor and Janet Reno and Jimmy Carter and the Clintons all having a dinner at the embassy over there in Libya. We could only be that lucky.
In my dream.
Oh, my God. I mean,
yeah.
And Barney Frank was hosting. They were having a weenie roast. I don't know.
Oh, my Lord.
Barney Frank.
I haven't seen Bernanke either. I haven't seen Bernanke or Geiger or Kohler. They're just like keeping low profile, man.
Oh, gee, I wonder why. You know, it's been awful quiet on the monetary front as of late. And then, you know, here we see this article come out, this paper from the IMF, no less, promoting the idea of the Chicago plan like it's something new.
Oh,
or actually, you know, if you read the abstract and the foreword, it seems that they're giving the idea that, gosh, you know, this came out in 1936 and we've had time to really scrutinize it. And you know what? This is workable. It's a doable. It's a good idea.
Wow!
Unbelievable.
Chicago
plan. Yeah, the key words in the Chicago plan are 100% reserve banking, bank lending, lending risk, private money creation, bank capital adequacy, government debt, private debt, boom bust cycles. Wow.
Like,
where have we heard all those terms before?
Just like Wells Fargo.
Well, you know, Dr. Ron Paul has been talking about all of those things
right.
for quite some time. And now the IMF decides, hey, you know, here's a good idea. Now, the Chicago plan is a 100% reserve banking system and a 100% reserve lending system. So the only money that would be available is money that the government itself creates and spends into circulation. Now, in our current mindset of a fiat currency, in our Federal Reserve system, imagine, if you will, the system converting overnight to a 100% reserve requirement, meaning the bank can't just simply loan out credit. It can
right.
only loan what it has on deposit in actual currency. Couldn't be electronic deposits. It would have to be actual physical currency.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to loan actual physical currency. And that's something that I think most people don't comprehend today. When I tell them that banks don't loan money, they look at me like a dog that's heard a high-pitched sound. But it's absolutely true. You go into each bank in the United States and get a loan. They won't give you money. They will give you a check.
That's right.
Now,
it's another
they will tell you. Yeah, right. They will tell you. Now, you can take that check over to the cashier and cash it if you'd like. But they don't lend money. So imagine, if you will, we're going to convert this system, whether it takes a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, to a 100% reserve requirement. What's the first thing banks are going to do? They're going to hoard money. Of course. Why would a bank hoard money? Well, because a bank, under the new law, would only be able to lend what it actually had on hand on deposit. So the bank's vault would actually become a vault where they would keep money, vast quantities of money, because they would have to have that money on hand in order to lend it. So it would actually be a 100% reserve lending system. There's nothing wrong with that, other than we've become so accustomed to free money, the free flow of credit, that it would seize the economy immediately. It would just stop the wheels and their ever slow grinding pace that they're on right now. Mm-hmm. See, that was the whole argument for the Federal Reserve System in the beginning. From the very beginning, it was to free up credit and capital investment. See, and make a more elastic currency. In other words, we could stretch the truth. We could pretend we had more money than we actually do.
Got it.
And the result of that stretching the truth is something Dr. Paul has talked about. The Austrians talk about it in Austrian economics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is malinvestment.
Right.
You create a situation where you've created more, the availability of more capital than there is demand or market for goods and services.
So people
begin these harebrained schemes and ideas that, you know, on a small scale, fail. On a large scale, government has to step in and bail them out. General Motors, Chrysler, the airlines, Amtrak. These are all ideas that they had their purpose and they were a viable business at one time. But technology and public demand has bypassed them. Can you imagine being in the business of manufacturing payphones?
It's just like going back to the Great Depression again, where the banks just basically took over everything, right?
Well, here is where I see a flaw in their system or in the idea of it, you know, on its surface. The idea in principle is sound. However, the money creation is totally dependent on your government, Congress. Now, I could be wrong. I'll have to read through it more, but that's certainly what it sounds like to me, is that government would be the only generator or creator of money. Now, we've already seen what happens when the system hits a speed bump.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, we've got to raise the debt ceiling. Can anyone tell me what in the HE double hockey sticks the debt ceiling has to do with the Federal Reserve's ability to loan money that doesn't exist or credit?
Well, this is their penchant for spending, and since they, you know, we the sheeple keep giving them the money and nobody's put any, you know, brakes on these people, what's to stop them?
Well, here's what I mean. We found out through the Freedom of Information Act that the Federal Reserve had created and loaned $16.8 trillion.
God.
Right? Much of it to foreign banks. How come Congress didn't have to increase the debt ceiling for them to do that?
That's a good question.
How come nobody's asking that question?
Wow.
Now, if the Fed can create $16.8 trillion to loan out to bail out foreign banks, why can they not create money to bail out U.S. corporations right here at home without any impact on the debt ceiling or the national debt whatsoever?
So does that have to do anything with the bank holiday?
Well, the question, it becomes more interesting what they're talking about in this Chicago plan. It's all semantics.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is when you're using fiat money.
Right.
Money that can be printed up in the basement. Okay? Mm. Now, the question becomes, why do we pay taxes to the federal government?
It's perpetual.
So support the printing process.
But if the government can print money,
right,
why do we send money to Washington, D.C.? They have a printing press. Why do we pay taxes to them?
Where does it go?
Well, where it goes really is a moot point. Why does it go there? Why are we paying taxes? Why does the government feel it necessary to diminish the wages of the average worker every week if they can just print money?
Because they're evil. That's one explanation. Oh, I don't know.
It's a round robin.
It's the C word.
Currency.
Control.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yeah, that's how they're doing it. That's how they're controlling us with this system, the monetary system. They've got us.
That is exactly why they don't want to go to a true, honest monetary standard. They don't want to go to a standard that would put control of money back in the hands of the common person.
Yep. And they'd lose their power. So it'll rot
that,
Yeah, they're evil.
Correct.
So if we had decent people in there, which we don't, why can't we, I don't know, in Congress...
Create our own currency outside of the government and give them the middle finger? That's what we should be doing.
Absolutely. I get that. But with,
I was going to say that, but I wasn't quite sure how we could do that. Why can't we make our own money? Tell them to call it today and leave us alone. That's not a bad idea, Ron.
Well, it's not about counterfeiting. It's about bartering or, you know, can use clamshells if we want to. I don't know. If we did have
how
those people, all of this spending and all of these programs that we hate, is there no way for the people in Congress to start if there was a will to do it, seriously looking every year at all of this stuff and making them accountable or sunset them and get rid of them every year? It's ridiculous.
Well, what we should be doing is working to make them irrelevant.
Thank you. I think they're doing a great job on their own, believe me.
Largely, they are irrelevant. You know, you put up a great post on our blog on Patriot Families talking about executive
right.
order. You know, the interesting thing about executive orders, and, you know, this is something else that we've talked about, it all comes down to jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So the question should be, who does the president have jurisdiction over? The military.
Yes, the military.
Executive agencies.
Right.
Okay. Now, where does the military have authority or jurisdiction? Anywhere they want.
Okay.
Not lawfully, but realistic.
Right.
Where do executive agencies have jurisdiction? It's in your Constitution, guys.
Oh, over is it a 10-mile radius?
There you go. Over a 10-mile square area.
Yep. Yep. D.C.
That will be known as the seat of government. And over any insular territories and possessions of the United States. Now, when they say United States in that sentence, they're talking about Congress, guys.
Ah. Got it. Yeah. See,
okay. Because the United States, it's perception. The United States is a creation that was created on a piece of paper.
Yep.
That's the only place that it exists other than your mind.
Okay.
So
we have so in other words, we have jurisdiction over our money if we really wanted to do it.
We have jurisdiction of our own property.
Yep.
Or at least we're supposed to. But just like that lady today coming over here wanting to measure the outside dimension
of my
home, I'm like, are you kidding me? Run along. Go play somewhere else. You know, I'm not playing your game. No, you're not measuring my property. I shoot trespassers.
Poor thing.
I'm sorry, Ron.
That's great.
I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Well, it aggravated me. You know, I didn't bust my butt trying to raise my children and provide for my family so that every busybody that works for the city, the county, or the federal government can come stick their nose up my skirt and see what panties I'm wearing today.
Precisely. Yeah.
I mean,
it's
ridiculous.
Well, when you talk about when they formed what's called the Union, it was because these sovereign states, which were little countries, decided to do that. And that's why the 10th Amendment was so important to them. They wouldn't have ratified that Constitution if they didn't have that.
Look, you see the same mentality, okay, in worker unions.
Oh, God.
You go work for a company that is a union shop and tell them you don't want to join the union and see how you're treated.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to be treated like they're the IRS and they're coming after you, and you're going to, by God, either join or get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Get a new job. A union is supposed to be a voluntary association.
Exactly.
Which leads to the question of secession.
There you go.
Which is what led to our Civil War. And that leads me back to something that I talked about once before, and I know I've saved it on my computer, and forgive me for not having it because I'm just kind of rambling on tonight. I really didn't have any topics to discuss per se. But it was something that I have read, and I know for fact that it occurred. It's in the annals of Congress. It was recorded in the Federal Register, and that was 1791, George Washington creating districts.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of the states.
Wow.
And he was absolute. There was no, there's no question, there could be no question as to what he meant because of the language that he used.
Okay.
Congress had just recently passed a bill, and I forget the title of the bill, it's quite long, but it had to do with granting authority to the executive to be able to use federal troops to put down an insurrection known as the Whiskey Rebellion.
Oh, my God.
And Washington was in the Senate, not in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. He was in the Senate, and he told the senators that under the authority granted to him by Congress through its most recent act, and he names the act, and again, I don't have it because it's half mm-hmm. a page long. He says that he is going to, or he is creating federal districts. And he gives an example. For example, the state of New York, or he doesn't say state, but he says New York is the district of New York. Georgia, the district of Georgia. What he's doing is creating federal districts states. So the state would no longer be a state, it would be a federal district. And subject to the complete control of Congress.
Oh my God. So is that where the negation of the 10-mile radius comes in?
Well, I think the argument could certainly be made that that's the case.
Oh, my God. Well, son of a gun.
Now, the reason it's important that it occurred in the Senate, who are senators or who were senators in 1791? Who did they represent?
Ah, because they were chosen by their state capital.
They represented states.
Right.
So all the states that were being converted into federal districts were present.
Oh, my gosh.
And if all of the representatives were present and none of them objected,
wow,
then they consented.
Idiots.
There's some basic principles in law. Notice to agent is notice to principal. And notice to principal is notice to agent. Well, those senators are acting as agents of the state.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were just notified by the executive that their state is going to be converted into a federal zone.
My God.
A federal district. And they, if they didn't object, why then?
Idiots. My head's going to explode.
That was an order, executive order to have federal control over the states, right?
No, that wasn't an executive order. That was George Washington, the president, the executive.
But that's, yeah.
Creating federal districts where there used to be sovereign states. And some people have said, well, That's just for the federal judicial, districts. That argument falls flat because the Judiciary Act of 1789 created the federal district courts.
Oh, man.
It cannot be misconstrued to be judicial districts. See, he was very clear. It was federal districts.
Dang.
So if that being the case, then as much as I hate it, I would have to say that under the law, President Lincoln was well within his power for prosecuting the Civil War.
Wow.
Because those states were federal districts. And the federal government said, no, you cannot secede.
Well, that just beats all, doesn't it? Oh, I hate it.
It's like playing chess.
Worse than that.
Because the thing is, a checkmate they had us in checkmate back when Washington was president.
Yeah, you were in checkmate in 1791, and you just didn't know it. You kept pushing your pawns out there thinking you had a shot.
Yep.
So when do we really start singing Swing Low, Swing Chariot?
Well, as I said before, I believe our Rubicon has been crossed long ago. We just are not aware of it.
Yeah, we're just finally figuring it out.
We're going through the motions and the machinations. We're pretending like we have freedom. We're fighting against incursions, but we just don't have any idea. We've been inside the box the whole time.
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
It's going to be every family for themselves soon, and that's not good.
Oh.
You know, I've heard so many arguments over the years talking about all of these different things. I've never heard anyone mention that little bit there about Washington. I forget where in the heck I ran across it. But it is it's in the Annals of Congress under the Library of Congress, A Century of Lawmaking.
Okay.
There's a link. I'll look if you could only see my favorites list. It's somewhat extensive. But if I run across it again, I will.
Yeah.
I'll grab it and I'll post it. To me, it's quite amazing. And, of course, Washington was practically a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
Even during his time as president, they all thought that he was just the greatest because he brought them their freedom, or at least so they thought.
Yeah, and then he pulls that one, and then they consent to it. Fools.
Well, and I'm not sure that they even understood the implications of what he was saying. I think, you know, I mean, I could be wrong, but I'd like to believe that so many of the folks that were in Congress at the time had such a great respect
for him.
Washington that they were perhaps somewhat starstruck when he walked in the room.
It could be, absolutely.
And the man could have said just damn near anything, and they would have all bobbed and nodded their heads in agreement, you know. There weren't very many that were willing to take him to task on much of anything.
It's a shame.
That is a shame. It's very sad. It's very sad that we had to find out or figure it out. Well, I don't know how long it was for me when I figured it out. I guess it's when I was going to make a run for Congress, but that's when I figured it out.
Somebody asked me the other day, why don't you run for city council? And I said, I'm not sure I want to get that dirty.
Well, that's all it is. They're going to find every bit of dirt they can find to make your life miserable. And you know what, Linda? It really isn't worth it. But I tell you why, because with the new medical laws and everything that it has implemented so far with Obamacare, your life is not private no more. Everybody knows your business.
Look, Robert, we haven't had much privacy long before Obama was even born. I mean, they've been trying to, you know, intrude on our privacy for so long, it's ridiculous. And it's with technology, they just get better at it. You know, they just get more precise with it. They can fly drones over your house if they want to. I mean, it's sickening.
And I understand it, but you know what's so weird is it was like 2 weeks ago Leonie went me to see my psychologist because of my new condition that I have. And here's this girl that I was in the waiting room who I know from my chiropractor's office. that I got to really see the fellow patient of him, which I wasn't expecting her to be there, you know. And it just so happened that she used to work for him.
Oh.
Even as it may, I really felt very uncomfortable. She just came to see Dr. Corbin because she, you know, she used to work for him. But be it as it may, she goes to see my chiropractor. And now everybody knows that I'm you know, that I was at Dr. Corbin's office. Everybody at Dr. Rice's for basically now knows that I'm at Dr. Corbin. Which, you know, to me, it could be a coincidental incident. But it's besides the fact that, you know, somebody
know.
That you didn't think was going to be there was there. And it just
sounds like you need to change out that yarmulke for a tinfoil hat, Robert.
yeah, absolutely. You know, you do need a tinfoil hat. We'll let it in.
I do see. I think I've got my dates wrong. I believe it was 1794.
Okay, that's close enough, though. Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, post it if you can. But you know, all we can do is what we're trying to do, Ron. I mean, everybody pray, everybody take care of their families and their neighborhoods and go forward, I guess.
Well,
that's what I'm doing, trying to wake people up, trying to educate myself.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, basically everybody on my blog is retired and on disability.
Oh, lovely. you guys will have wheelchairs and shotguns.
But it's the truth.
The wheelchair uprising. Oh my God, that's hysterical.
I swear to God.
In Florida, can you picture that, Ron?
Absolutely.
Oh, Ron was in
wheelchairs and shotguns.
Oh my God,
that's hysterical.
You wake up in the morning, you look outside, and you say, I'm just going to mess with you today.
Well, anyway, I'm going to go back to the chat room, and thank you guys for letting me chat with you and all that stuff, and great shows tonight. And I'm going to check out all these infos before the debates go on.
You're going to watch the debate, Linda?
Yeah.
Linda, shoot me your phone number, and I'll tell you why.
It's okay. I'm just a stupid masochist. Must be from my old dancing days.
I might be in the CA wing pretty soon. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Shoot me an email.
Okay.
The act, I believe the act that Washington referred to was, the short version is the Militia Act. Of 1792.
Wow. That's amazing, Ron. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here, man.
That's just totally amazing. So Mr. Washington had it mapped out pretty well.
Well, I think... And I don't know. I need to find it again so I can go back and reread it. Washington was no fool. And I think that Washington saw a problem with trying to organize the militias, which was one of the reasons why, for God's sakes, we had a constitutional convention in the first place.
Right.
Okay, because the Articles of Confederation were deemed to be defective because there was no way to compel the states to comply. And even under the Militia Act, it was still somewhat suspect because, of course, the states retained their sovereignty. And so I think under the power that was granted him in the Act in 1792, and Congress quickly... And it may have even been 1795 because I see that Congress reaffirmed the act in 1795 and made it permanent.
Oh, my gosh.
So that may be the time frame when he said, you know what, I'm going to make it even more permanent. We're just going to convert the states to federal districts. And they'll pretty much be subject at that point to the dictates of Congress. I mean, that's not what it said, but in essence, that's the effect of it.
Oh, man. Oh, we're so doomed.
Well, I think we've been doomed from the start. It's just taken a while to get there, you know.
It's a shame.
Rome wasn't built in a day, for God's sakes.
$16 trillion of debt.
Oh, man.
Have a look at the bright side. It's imaginary debt.
Imaginary.
They could never pay this
like we're all delusional and having an aberration, right?
Well, it's like that song by Atlanta Rhythm Section, you know, Imaginary Lover.
Crazy.
I don't
Okay, right. Guys, I'm going to let you go and finish this off and get myself some food here. And thank you so much, and God bless everybody. And I'll see
Not
you
a problem. Thanks for calling in, Miss Linda.
Okay,
God bless,
you.
Linda.
You too.
How's Bill Strong doing? How's he hanging?
Well, I don't know. He's in the chat room. How you doing, Mr. Bill? Robert wants to know how Bill is doing today.
How's my Uncle Bill doing?
And I am happy to report that I finally got some pictures emailed to me by my daughter. My goodness, a lot of them. So I'll be posting pictures of the newest addition to the family when I get off the radio this evening.
Boy or girl?
Little girl, Isabella.
Little girl.
She's absolutely perfect. You know, it's difficult. I don't know how anyone could be cruel towards children. I really don't.
I don't either.
Especially infants, you know. They're just so perfect. You just want to hold them, whether they're yours or someone else's, you know?
It's a cruel world out there, Ron. What can I tell you? It's a cruel world.
It is. There's a lot of crazy people out there.
There is. And all we got to do is take care of ourselves and be safe. I don't know what else to say. I've done everything I could. But they still haven't heard from me yet. There's 2016 to think about. I'm still on this earth.
There you go. Well,
I haven't given up hope yet. I mean, by 2016, I'll be what? It just turned 57. So 4 years, I'll be 62. 4 years, I'll be 61. Not ready to retire yet. Still won't even get to apply for Medicaid yet, 62, so.
Man, I don't know if I'll even make it to 62.
I mean, I'm just saying, well, I mean, I tell you, man. I just want to outlive the election.
Hell, I'm only 47, and I'm ready to go see the doctors and get some of that bionic surgery, you know?
Oh, man, don't do that yet, Ron.
Be the $6 million man.
You're not ready for it yet. You're still honoring.
I always said if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself.
I thought it was great that you chased that woman off the property. I was always there
to see it. Well, I tried not to be rude about it, but... And I must have been a sight. Everyone's been giving me a hard time because I've grown my beard out and I'm wearing blue jeans and suspenders.
Oh, you got a beard too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I grew mine out too. I'm going almost 3 weeks on my beard. All my neighbors are just staring at me.
You need to get some of those curly locks to hang.
Oh. I'm telling everybody I'm going to Israel for the weekend.
Yeah, but just get a hat with them on there, Robert, so you can put it on every once in a while and just walk around in your towel. Now, there is a look. I can imagine it now. Robert in his towel wearing a hat, a black rimmed hat, you know, with the curls coming down in a towel. Oh, my God.
I do have one, by the way. I have had my grandfather's, I have my grandfather's, or have I have his hat, rabbi hat.
I remember, I'm reminded one year that my wife and I were in Cincinnati, Ohio for her job. And the company she worked for, they had an uncle, Curtis. Guy was enormous. When I say enormous, I mean Andre the Giant size large. He was a huge man. And most everyone was intimidated by him because the guy was like 7 foot tall. He was just huge. Anyway, we're driving around downtown Cincinnati in a motorhome, and it's all one-way streets. And we come to this intersection, and there's a bunch of rabbis, all dressed in black. And Curtis, not being very well traveled in the world, he's getting aggravated because they were taking too long to cross the street. He said, "What the hell is this, a damn Blues Brothers convention?" I was almost in tears. I was laughing so hard.
Are we almost done?
Almost done, Robert. You're kind of breaking up on me a little bit.
Oh, my phone's kind of dying off. I've been on my cell phone trying to stay away from the heat of the phone. That's what caused me to have a boil in my ear, was the cell phone.
Well, you know, they're probably going to give you a brain tumor.
I probably already have a brain tumor.
Well, then using a cell phone is probably not helping it any.
Well, they say, well, cell phones are, I wish I had, you know what, I was fine before I got my cell phone. I wish I never had a cell phone.
Well, there have been studies out there that show that they can cause brain tumors. I don't know. I personally haven't had much use for a cell phone. I have one. My wife and everyone make fun of me because I turn it on probably once or twice a month, if that often. And usually it's if I'm on the road and I need to contact my wife and tell her something important because I, you know, forgot to do it before I left work.
Right.
Or if I need something, you know, I'll turn on the phone, make a call, and then immediately turn it right back off.
That's it. I mean, I hardly ever use it during the day, you know. But you know, the only time I use it is when I talk on the show, and just when I you know, travel. That's the only time I use it. Other than that, but before. You know, I think I was a lot healthier before my cell phone. I really do. I really think I was healthier. You know, I haven't recovered from the flu I had, Ron. I had the worst flu that you may ever want to know. You know, I'm still not 100%. I'm still on penicillin. So stay healthy. That's all I can tell you because it's a bad flu. Don't get it.
I usually, you know, it is pretty doggone rare, knock on wood, that I get any illnesses. Once in a blue moon, seems like usually what I end up with is a respiratory infection. Of course, breathing sawdust and smoking cigarettes probably doesn't help that situation at all.
No. So what are we all gonna quit smoking?
Probably right after they cremate me. On that note, I have a wonderful cigar that I bought down in Savannah that I'm contemplating smoking tonight.
My gosh. A Savannah handmade cigar?
Yes, actually, it is. It's not a Cuban, but it is a Dominican. It's a Dominican and... lovely. Oh, yeah. I go for the really robust, the dark tobaccos. And this one is, if you've ever had a Maduro.
Oh, man.
This is a Maduro all the tobacco in it, including the outer leaf, is all Maduro. It's Maduro on steroids.
Oh, my Lord. You have a nice smoke.
I think so. Very good one.
And a Maduro's Dominican cigar. I haven't
yep.
had one since I went to Miami when I went to an Italian wedding.
Well, this one is actually it's called a Macanudo Triple Maduro.
Wow. You're going to have a good buzz before you go to bed, buddy.
I don't know about that. But
my Lord. Is Gary Johnson on your ballot?
Wow, my daughter is still sending pictures. God bless her. I don't know, Robert. I have no idea if he's on the ballot here in Georgia or not.
Just curious. I'm still fumbling through, trying to figure out what to do, but I don't know.
Well, you know, it's almost time for the debate, so run and watch the debate or the media circus show. It's hardly a debate, but you never know. It might turn into one. It's possible.
I think it will. I think Schaefer will probably, you know, Crowley just did a horrible job.
I just don't even bother. It's just kabuki theater.
It is. It's like watching foreplay.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. On that note, let's make sure everybody tunes in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for Mr. Bill Strong for Patriot Families Chat, and then Wednesday night at 7 for Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast, and Thursday night for Miss Terry Rowland, and then Friday, I don't know. I don't think we're doing a show Friday. I probably won't do one again this Sunday. I've got a lot of projects going. And, of course, Michael Magic on Saturday at 7 p.m. for Exposing the Illusion. God bless everybody, and I'm going to take you out with Show Me the Way. bless, everybody. We'll see y'all later. Have a good week.